Thank you very much for the introduction. So my talk today is titled Risk Factors Influencing Hospitalizations Due to Heat-Related Illnesses, Patterns of Hospitalization Use During Heat Events. So I have nothing to disclose. So just in general, as most of us here know, you know, climate change is happening. Global warming is a thing, as much as the media likes to dissuade us. As a result of this, we've seen an increase in frequency and intensity of extreme weather events. The research that I'm presenting today deals with extreme heat events and identifying risk factors for those vulnerable populations to these types of events. So just some background. High environmental temperatures have negative effects on human health. Extreme heat events account for a significant number of fatalities from weather-related hazards, with almost 650 deaths per year attributed to heat waves in the U.S. We know from studies from heat mortality that these fatalities can be from the direct result of heat, such as classic hypothermia, heat stroke, having a core body temperature above 40 degrees Celsius, leading to potentially multi-organ failure, or indirectly from exacerbation of underlying medical conditions such as cardiovascular diseases or respiratory diseases, etc. So while many studies have focused on heat-related mortality, there's a gap in knowledge regarding heat-related morbidity, and researchers have called for a deeper understanding to describe populations that are affected by heat morbidity. The effect of temperature on morbidity is a significant public health concern that will escalate as global mean temperature continues to rise and increase in more episodes of temperature extremes that affect larger geographic areas in more vulnerable populations. So by identifying risk factors for heat morbidity, we can better design interventions and implement policy to protect these populations. Of similar importance, we need to also identify protective factors to help reduce incidence of heat-related illnesses. Effective dissipation of heat is essential in reducing the mortality and morbidity of heat-related illnesses. Techniques potentially used in hospitals for cooling, such as ice baths, using cold packs, and wetting the body surface while inducing evaporation, helps rapidly cool the body. One of the strongest preventative measures, though, is having and using an air conditioner in your home. It is important not only to look at individual characteristics, but also environmental and geographical aspects to understand risk factors and how they may influence each other on multiple levels. So the aim of this study is to examine heat-related morbidity using a large administrative database to identify individual and environmental risk factors for hospitalizations due to heat-related illness and document the pattern of household cooling. The objective is to identify public health strategies for reaching populations vulnerable to heat morbidity and preventing illness and death from future heat events. So the two main data sources, the primary source of data for this study was the 2001 to 2010 Healthcare Cost and Utilization Projects Nationwide Inpatient Sample, which was developed by the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. The NIS is the largest all-payer care database with data from approximately 8 million hospitalizations per year in the U.S. and is designed to represent 20% of all hospital discharges. The data for the spatial analysis on air conditioning use is based on the Residential Energy Consumption Survey, which is a national household energy survey conducted by the U.S. United States Energy Information Administration every 3 years, starting in 1978. And the most current, for example, the most current survey surveyed 12,000 households, which statistically represents about 110 million households in the U.S. So from this database, since about 95% of all hospitalizations for heat-related illness occur in the summer months, May to September. All hospitalizations not occurring during these months were excluded. Heat-related illnesses were defined by ICD-9 codes 992.0 to 992.9 and were signified as having a heat-related illness if they were diagnosed at the hospital. The final cohort of this, looking at this study, is around 15,000 cases of heat-related illness in comparison to the 37 million hospitalizations that occurred in this time period. The analysis consisted of three parts. The first part was a multivariate analysis was performed to determine risk factors for heat-related morbidity. Variables were explored controlling for patient-level characteristics such as gender, age, race, zip code, income quartile, insurance, and various comorbidities, and also hospital-level characteristics such as hospital size, hospital location, hospital teaching status, and hospital region. A log binomial model, which directly models risk ratios, was used. The final multivariate analysis consisted of a multi-level modeling to account for the hierarchical nature of patients within hospitals. Weighting was not used for the multi-level analysis, though results were very similar to the weighted multivariate analysis. A spatial analysis was also performed with the REX air conditioner data to analyze the use of air conditioning among vulnerable populations, particularly those living in poverty. So this graph here shows the number of heat-related illness hospitalizations per 10,000 hospitalizations by year, indicated an uneven increase over the past 10 years. This is all hospitalizations in the U.S. have pretty much remained steady throughout these years, but this is a slight increase in heat-related illness hospitalizations. And this can be accounted for potentially the increased knowledge around climate change and around heat-related illness that can show this small increase, or it could be because we are having more extreme heat events in the U.S. So the number of heat-related illness hospitalizations from 2001 to 2010 by hospital location is shown in this map. In some instances, hospital address was not provided. The state doesn't have to provide hospital address in some cases, in which case the overall number of hospitalizations over the 10-year period is represented for that state. This map shows the number of heat-related illness cases per square mile determined by the number of cases reported in each hospital cluster. Hospitals were grouped in clusters of 12 or more, keeping in line with the data use agreement for this data set. And boundaries on the map are determined by the counties hospitals were located in. So you can see the darker the color, the more hospitalizations in these areas. So results from the multi-level analysis are shown in this table. I apologize if you can't read it, though it's pretty well projected on this screen. I just want to highlight a couple of things. So among racial characteristics, blacks had a 21% increase in heat-related illness hospitalization. Males had a 3.6 times increased risk among in comparison with female patients. Patients above the age of 40 had a range of 30 to 57% increased risk of hospitalizations, with the highest risk among those 75 and older. Patients who reported to live in zip codes with the lowest median income quartile were more likely to be hospitalized for heat-related illness, about a 10% increase, though this is not statistically significant on the multi-level model. It's statistically significant on the multivariate model. Patients with no insurance were also two times more likely to be hospitalized for a heat-related illness. This could potentially be in line with those of lower socioeconomic status as well. Patients who lived in rural and urban clusters were also at an increased risk to be hospitalized with heat-related illness, approximately two times increased risk more than those in urban areas. Urban areas, urban clusters, and rural areas were defined by the U.S. Census, with urban areas consisting of 50,000 or more people per square mile, I believe, and then urban clusters are 2,500 to 50,000 people, and rural areas are outside those two definitions. Comorbidities such as congestive heart failure, renal failure, respiratory disease were shown to have actually a reduced risk of 10 to 30% among heat-related illness diagnosed populations. Hospital size, teaching status, and region did not show any significant results at the multi-level model, though the multivariate model showed hospitals in southern regions and smaller hospitals showed a 30% increased risk of hospitalization for heat-related illnesses. In this map here, average poverty level of households below 100% the poverty line that do not have air conditioning is shown here for the years 2005 and 2009. In 2005, 83% of the population, the U.S. population, had access to air conditioning. In 2009, 87% had access to air conditioning. Though, as indicated in this map, you'll see the darker colors increase from 2005 to 2009, showing that air conditioner ownership and usage among poor populations is actually decreasing. So individual risk factors for hospitalizations due to heat-related illness were similar to previous heat-related morbidity and mortality studies, though this study has highlighted a number of key differences. While it may be noted in prior research that the elderly and infants are at an increased risk of heat mortality, there is no significant increase in hospitalizations for those under the age of 18 in this analysis. In comparing the populations of adults 18 to 39, we see that all age groups above 40 are at risk for hospitalization for heat morbidity. Studies have also shown that many individuals do not perceive themselves as being at risk for heat-related illness, though this data is contrary to the fact, and seemingly many age groups are susceptible, which is important information to pass along. We're seeing increased risk among a broader range of age groups than we just see from previous mortality and morbidity studies. Additionally, many heat mortality studies have noted female, many heat mortality studies have noted females to be at an increased risk, though the opposite is seen in this morbidity data, with males having a much higher risk. And this could be, you know, this needs to be looked at a bit further and understanding what this difference means. Another interesting finding that came up is the fact that hospitals in rural and urban clusters presented with more patients diagnosed with heat-related illness. Previous studies have also shown us that the urban heat island and temperatures in cities are always much higher than surrounding rural and suburban areas. So we've assumed that heat morbidity and heat mortality are increased in urban areas, but from the analysis that I have done, it's almost a twofold increase in rural and suburban areas as opposed to more urban areas. So potential explanations could be, you know, either health literacy among urban populations is better, intervention and warning systems in urban areas may be better, and you know, people are more informed about the risk perception of heat events in urban areas. Hospital travel distance can also be an issue, and you know, maybe more workers outside in urban in suburban and rural areas could explain this, but this needs to be explored further. Hospitalizations also normally increase during extreme heat events due to heat-related illnesses exacerbating underlying medical conditions such as diabetes, cardiovascular disease, respiratory disease, renal failure, and others, and are usually the primary causes of the hospitalization, usually diagnosed as the primary cause of the hospitalization. Because of this, we had originally assumed that these common comorbidities would actually be at an increased risk, not the decreased risk that was shown on the table. Again, since this particular research question did not focus on comorbidities, I can only hypothesize on the causes. Potential explanations can be that since patients present with illnesses such as CHF or COPD, these are life-threatening conditions, the primary diagnosis at the hospital is going to be CHF, COPD, or something that needs to be taken care of right away, even though that these illnesses may be induced by the heat. So in this, we're seeing potentially that maybe healthcare workers are not actually diagnosing the heat-related illness, only the exacerbated illness. Thus, we're getting a strong underreporting of heat-related illness. And this is unfortunate because we need to have the heat-related illness diagnosis in addition to the comorbidities to understand how these risk factors interact and better to communicate risk to populations. So we saw that although air conditioning ownership is increased in the use among vulnerable populations like those in increased in use, the air conditioning among vulnerable populations such as those in poverty has actually decreased. Like I said before, the underreporting of hospitalizations and increased risk in more age groups than just elderly show potential lack of awareness or risk perception among heat-related events. Improved knowledge as well as improved access to air conditioning or availability of cooling centers can help inform public awareness and educate the public on how to protect themselves during heat waves. There were just a few limitations. Although this study is the first of its kind to review a large multi-year database for heat-related illness, there are limitations of the study. Administrative data is not as accurate as clinical data, reviewing actual records at times, and may not catch all instances of heat-related illness in the coding process. The underreporting of heat-related illnesses may be a source of bias in this analysis. Because the NIS does not capture information regarding hospital readmission, there is potential for individuals to be counted multiple times over this time period. Additionally, the residential and the REX data set does not match specifically with NIS records due to different levels of measurement, one at the patient level and one at the household level. Thus, analysis could only occur at the census region and census division, which is difficult to make assumptions at that level for individual characteristics. Visual analysis of the data cannot be used to, like I said, generalize to all groups. So just in conclusion, just highlighting the importance of heat morbidity data to more inform what are individual risk factors for hospitalizations. Also, not just the individual risk factors, but also highlighting environmental characteristics of hospitalizations, looking at the hospital level, at the community level, at the city level, and also importance of identifying and evaluating protective factors and who they're actually reaching or potentially not reaching. So thank you very much.